each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. I don't know why I brought my Polish, my Polish homily in my hand here.
You'll be talking Polish.
Maybe. Why did I bring that down? I don't know. Anyway. How is everybody doing?
Great. Doing very well, Father.
How is everybody doing? How are we all doing, right?
We are all doing
How
very
is
well.
Everyone?
How's everybody? How's everyone?
How are yous doing?
How are yous doing? So anyway, it's Friday, so we had the children's mass this morning, and it was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were playing hangman, you know, and then I realized you can't
say that.
You
anymore.
Can't say that. That's violent, you know? And
that's like a threat or something.
Yeah. So what it was for the homily, and by the way, this is a question I want to address today as
Ask
well.
Ask Tony the questions because I already heard
answers. You've got
so.
The answers. We'll see if Tony can get it right.
Okay.
But you know why do we really go to Mass? And that's what I wanted the students to answer that
things,
because
the
gospel today was. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, with your whole strength. He said, that's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to ask the student, okay, you know, excuse me, certainly those the first three commandments are, I mean, the first commandment is in reference to God. It summarizes the first three commandments. And the second great commandment, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, is a summation of the other seven commandments. So Jesus didn't give us a new commandment. He just he took the ten and he summarized the ten in the two great commandments, a summation of the ten. So I thought, well, you know, because this kind of leads into Sunday, something very interesting that I read that you're going to hear on Sunday, or you'll hear it today perhaps, but the, so it made me want to focus on to keep holy the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I says, you know, so I said, ask him why do we go to Mass? So I want to help him a little bit, you know. So I said, there's four reasons why we really go to Mass. And what are those reasons? At first, I said, are we going for ourselves or do we go for God? And the first child said, for God.
Yes.
So with the kids, I normally don't go down, you know. I read the gospel and I'll deliver the homily from the ambo.
The ambo.
We call it the, it's not a, we call it, officially it's an ambo.
The ambo.
Ambo. Some people would call it a pulpit, but it's it's an ambo. In the Catholic Church, we call it an ambo. And so normally I stay right there. But with the kids, when we have the students in the Mass, I try to go down there and engage them in a conversation, you know, that try to, you know, you get a point, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a catechesis based on the readings. So I wanted them to, you know, so there are four reasons why we go to Mass, and so they couldn't seem to answer the question. He says, well, we'll play hangman, you know? In other words, well, if you remember that, do you remember that when you were a kid?
I'm just trying to think of how you would describe it without using that.
I know. Well, it was only later that I thought, well, you know, maybe that's not the right thing to, you know, today you they could arrest me for playing such a game, but, you know, hangman, yeah. you know, but in this...
what do you call that bandit when he does something bad and they put him...
Yeah, I don't think you can even say that.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but yet for Halloween, they hang, you know, stuff out there, like things. But there's nothing wrong with that.
I know, but, you know, but why, where did that come from, you know? And so if you remember from the time you were in grade school, I don't know if these children remember this, although after the mass, I asked the principal, and she said, well, yeah, we used to play that. I remember, you know, in school,
we
would play hangman. Did you do that too?
In
a Catholic school, you did it.
We did it.
In those days.
Yeah.
And there's books of hangman puzzles, so I don't know
Okay.
So I don't know how you would describe that other than using that word.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do nowadays. It's all video games. I don't know. Yeah.
So anyway, for those who may not know, it seems like everybody knows about it, you know, but so you're looking for a specific word. And so I'm asking, you know, what are the four, why do we really go to Mass? There are four reasons. And so I said the first reason, okay, so I'm waiting. What's the first reason? Why? And nobody's answering the question. So I said, okay, I'll give you a clue. The first letter is A, as in apple, and still nothing.
Yeah, and somebody said it with a P, prayer.
Prayer, and somebody said prayer.
Yeah, that does not start with a
P. Somebody said prayer. I said, well, prayer. And even those answers, I said, okay, that's true. You know, it's not a wrong answer, but it's not the answer I'm looking for.
It doesn't start with an A.
Right, and it doesn't start with an A. So I said, well, we'll play hangman, okay? And I said, okay, I'll give you, and then I gave the eighth grader, she kind of raised her hand, and she said something, but it was completely off topic, I think, and so I said, okay, you know the answer. I'm going to give you another letter. So I gave her the letter R. Mm-hmm. And still, she was just kind of like, I don't know. I was just going to give you an E and an O. Well, she said, is it all scrambled up? And I said, yeah, but I've already told you the first letter is A. So, you know, they still couldn't get it. And so I looked at the student next to her, and I said, okay, you know the answer. What's the answer? And he said, worship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, worship doesn't start with an A, and it has how many letters?
Yeah.
So I said, okay. I said, but you're right, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So what's, don't answer.
No,
so what's the word?
Adoration or atonement?
Well, it's only got four letters.
For which one?
No, you were.
Oh, five letters.
It was five letters, Father, when you said four.
I said four, so maybe that's what confused
him. And I was laughing. That's why, didn't you hear them say, hey?
Oh, I
signed with A.
So you were on the right track.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
So
but
the first
letters.
Reason we...
Five letters, sorry.
Five letters. Starts with an A.
You said the first
starts
word.
Starts with an A, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
You
said atone?
No. The first word you said.
Adoration?
But what's the shorter version?
Two.
You said adoration. What's a shorter form
of
adoration?
We go for adoration.
Yeah,
See, I would be a terrible hangman.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how if you're any better than our students.
Right.
To adore. Oh, see, the catechism, actually, I was reading this article this past week. There's a great website. It's called Those Catholic Men. And it's good. It's got a lot of good articles
Catholic
in there, you
men.
Know. Those Catholic Men. It's not for women. It's for the men.
Yeah, it's only for the men.
You know.
So it wasn't for yesterday.
Yesterday was
Women's Day.
It was Women's Day. You can answer the question, but you probably get the answers. We'll see what kind of a man Tony is if he can answer.
Yeah, let's leave Tony.
I think I know these.
But it begins by saying, okay, so God created us for what purpose? The Catechism of the Catholic Church begins this way: God created us for what purpose?
For what purpose?
Mm-hmm. What purpose? To give him glory, which we do. How do we give God glory? I don't expect that you know this.
By going to Mass?
Well, yeah.
Through our lives?
By sharing in his happiness. That's this beautiful answer. That's how the Catechism opens. The Catechism of the Catholic Church. God created us to give him glory, which we do by sharing in his own happiness. And in this we give glory to God. So the Catechism actually opens God infinitely perfect and blessed in himself in a plan of sheer goodness freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. They share in his happiness. You know, the old Baltimore Catechism said what? God, why did God make me? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. Okay? So the Mass has the same end as human life, though it's the most direct and intense expression of it on earth. And it's a commandment. Mm-hmm. It's a commandment. We have an obligation, a responsibility to go to Mass. For what purpose? We go to Mass for God, mm-hmm. for God, to give him the glory. And then these other, well, I'm not, so because I'll give away the other. Okay, so anyway, so we go to give God, to adore him, mm-hmm. to give him glory. Oh, so we give God glory in adoration. We adore. And in this we give him honor, the honor that is due God. We're professing or confessing his supreme dominion over all things and the absolute dependence of everything upon God, who is our good beginning and our good end. And so we choose to live in God. So we adore God. So adoration, we go to Mass for God, to adore God. For what other purpose?
Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very good. To thank for the gift of redemption, the gift of our sanctification. The eighth graders are there. I should have you guys come in here because I was just speaking about you guys. You come on in.
Look at me.
Ah, isn't that funny? They're going to come around? Good. I'll get them on the radio. Well, I'm going to get them on the radio and see if they can ask the questions.
Yeah, see if they were paying attention.
Yeah. That's funny. They're coming? What's that? Okay. Is the door open?
Yeah, it's okay. Open.
Good. Hey, you guys want to, can I get you on the radio?
Yeah, we put yes. on that mic over there.
Does that mic work over there?
Does it work?
Yeah, yeah, for now.
Oh, so come on, get on the, you guys get on the radio. So I'm just talking about you. See how God provides? God provides. I'm going to see if they were really listening this morning, you know? So I'm going to have you introduce yourselves first in a moment. Get Christine and Tony out of here.
Yeah. Did I put
the Although Tony was doing, show them what to do. You got to put the earphones on. You got to talk to the mic, into the mic. Did you roll up Mass this morning?
Yes.
Absolutely. Where are you coming from?
We're coming from. We just got out of class. Yes. Yeah. So.
Did Frank take you out of class?
Yeah, we have to go help. Feel something for the church, I think.
Okay, good. All right, good. I'm glad you brought him there. So, introduce yourselves.
Oh, my name is Janice Garcia Morales.
You can just, Janice is fine, okay.
My name is Caitlin.
Caitlin, Janice, Janice and Caitlin.
Yeah, my name's Angela.
Is that mic working or not?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Angela.
I can hear you.
You can hear, okay.
I can't hear myself.
Okay, I can hear you.
He's got to turn up the
volume. Fix that up for him, so.
Okay, keep all right, talking.
We're talking. Angelo. Yeah. Angelo, I knew his father. We go back generations. I was in the Chinese restaurant that one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to the Chinese restaurant. This is maybe about a year ago. And you're there with your grandmother.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there. Was your father there? I think it was just...
My dad was there.
Your dad was there, but I saw you... And I thought it was your mother. I thought it was your father. I thought you were your father. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing. I said, "What happened? What happened? Where did this? This is another generation." So, but anyway, Angelo, Caitlin, and I'm sorry,
Janice.
I've got what? Yeah. All right. So this is funny. You guys are here because we were just talking about you. So this morning at Mass, I was saying there are four reasons why we go to Mass. And what do we play? We played what game today?
Hangman.
Okay. Do you guys play that in school?
Yeah.
You do? You still do that?
Yes.
So I guess it was okay. I thought I would do it. I was doing something politically incorrect, and I was going to be ousted out of the parish for playing hangman. And not that we want to do that in church, but I mean, it was just it was to make a point, right? So I asked this morning four reasons why we go to Mass. And first of all, let me ask, so for who, do we go to Mass for God, or do we go to Mass for ourselves?
Both.
Well, both, that's right, that's a perfect answer, but first and foremost for? God. Okay, very good. But so what are the other four reasons? The four reasons we go to Mass.
Adore.
Very good.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Thanks for God.
Thanks. Let Angelo answer. Put him on the spot here. Adoration, thanksgiving, forgiveness, and...
You said it was something with
an
H, right?
No. I. You talk right into the mic, Angelo. I can't hear him, actually. Can you hear him, Nick?
Okay.
Just go use that one over there. Just move over. There you go. Okay, we'll share the mic here. So the I, it starts with an I. Think. there's two words I said, right? Do you guys you remember?
Okay. Intercede.
Intercede. Yeah. To intercede or to implore.
Employ it.
You know, to pray. Okay, so. And let me ask you this, so. What is it that we do? How do we, because I've said this many times, so you guys better remember this. How is our primary participation in the Mass? When we go to Mass, we primarily participate by doing what?
Listening.
Yeah. Well, listening, of course, you know, you better be listening, you know. But what's primary? So we listen, you know, we pray, we sing. Some of the students are lectors, some are serving. But what is our together? What are we primarily doing?
Worshiping.
We're in silence.
Yeah.
Our kids love. I mean, I've taught you well to silence, huh? To appreciate the silence. They come in silence. They leave in silence. Our students learn to love silence. God speaks in silence. But remember, it's the offering, right?
Oh.
Uh-huh. Remember, we offer our lives. Our primary participation is absolutely the adoration, thanksgiving, forgiveness, because we are sinners. We miss a mark, and we intercede. We pray not only for ourselves but for our family members and the world and all those in need. But in all this, what we're doing is we're offering our lives through to whom? Through whom? To whom?
God.
Well, it's God, yes. But how many persons in God?
Three.
Oh, very good. See, what are the three persons in God?
Father, the Spirit, and the Trinity.
Well, that is the Trinity. Is the
that
three
is
persons?
The Trinity,
yeah,
right? Yeah. I forgot the last.
The one. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You know this. See, we're putting you on the spot, right? Because you're on the radio. Didn't expect this. So our the offering, the giving of our lives in Mass, is an offering through whom, to whom, by whom, through. Christ.
Who's you?
Me,
right?
Huh?
Me?
No, you're offering your life in Christ, through Christ, to whom?
To God.
To God the Father.
Yeah.
By whom?
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly, see? So we got the smartest students in the Archdiocese of Chicago, really. So you're here for what purpose again? Tell me, what brings you in?
Just some service hours, helping around the church.
Good. Like what kind of work are you gonna do?
I think we're filling pamphlets, right? Yeah.
Okay. Frank's got it. He knows what they're gonna do. Okay. Fantastic. So, wow, this is really now. What did you do, Armin?
I laid hands on it.
My voice is booming now. It's kind of like you. Wow. Anyway, so what are you going to do on the weekend? So you guys get the weekend off.
Well, tomorrow we have a championship game for basketball.
How are you guys doing, by the way?
We lost one game.
But that was
because we didn't have practice that whole week. But the last time we played, because we're playing against St. Sylvester.
Oh.
So the last time we played... The gym, the pipes broke. So
yes, right.
We didn't have practice that whole week.
Blame it on the gym. All right.
Yeah, but we did. We played very well. We won.
Oh, very good. Okay, see.
I just think that the when we didn't have practice because it was winter break, we haven't seen each other and we weren't like.
You got lazy.
Yeah, but we wanted a win because it was like playoffs. So.
Yeah. So you're gonna have the championship game tomorrow?
Yeah, it's at Mother Garen.
At Mother Garen, and you're playing St. Sylvester's.
Yes.
So you better come back with the trophy. Mm-hmm. Do you get a trophy if you win?
Yeah, and we also get sweatshirts. I'm wearing it right now because I won last year.
Oh, nice! Very nice. Are you guys playing too?
Yeah, but I play with the boys.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's great. Let's see what else. Do you guys have any questions for intelligent students? Tony, maybe? Christina? I can't think. Frank, do you have a question?
No, I don't.
No?
This is that well-behaved.
But no, you're going to be... So there's something very beautiful that's happening very soon in your lives, right?
Yeah, we're getting confirmed.
You're going to be confirmed. So tell our audience, our viewers, they're not viewing, they don't see us, thank God. It's good if they could see you, but better that they don't see me. But what is it, our listeners, because we had millions of listeners, and I'm saying they're all over the world. You're talking to millions of people, right? Just an exaggeration. I'm not lying. It's just a little exaggeration. It's
really?
A joke. No. No, they're all over the world. In Peru, and we do actually. We have a listener in Peru. We have a listener in New Zealand.
Wait, so they can understand us?
Evidently,
English.
Oh, okay, great, yeah.
Well, in New Zealand, yes, but in Peru, you know, evidently. Otherwise, it wouldn't be listening, right? Or they just like my voice, maybe our voices.
Or they like how we look.
They, no, if they saw how we look, that's why we're not on television. You get a face for TV. Tony has a face for TV. I don't have a face for TV. For radio. We got faces for radio, yeah. So you're going to be in a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks, actually.
On the 20th.
You're going to be confirmed. Yeah. So you've already received... this is another test, okay? And if you don't pass this, you can't be confirmed. What are the seven sacraments? Your first sacrament, you received
Baptism.
Baptism.
Yeah. Communion.
Communion.
Holy Communion.
Anointing of the sick.
Hey, anointing of the sick, did you really?
No.
It is one, but you're right, that's one.
My sister gets it.
Yeah, okay, there you go, okay.
In order.
It's baptism.
Baptism, communion,
and confirmation. Next week, we're going to all go to confession next week.
Confirmation.
Yeah, next week, I mean, what, before confirmation?
Confession.
Reconciliation, okay.
And then...
Confirmation.
The holy orders, that's only if you want to be a priest.
Yeah.
And matrimony.
Yeah, matrimony.
Yeah, it's holy matrimony.
I'm going to get married, I already decided.
You're not going to be a priest.
No, I can't be a priest.
I know, that's right. It's so good you say that, you know. And it's not that you think that we're being prejudicial, right? No.
No, I just think that that since God was the guy, that you guys should carry out his mission.
Since God was a guy?
Yeah. Was a man.
God, he's a good guy, right?
Yes.
God is a good guy. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But, you know... there's also this most important person in the mystical body of Christ. By virtue of baptism, we're part of the mystical body of Christ. So we got God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you know, and we have, because we're part, so, in fact, this is, by the way, this is the reading this coming Sunday, and I know you're all going to be at Mass on Sunday. So Jesus says, God, the Father, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. Unfortunately, people chose the darkness because he brings light. They choose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed, right? So if he brought us into this mystical body, he's the only begotten Son. By virtue of baptism, we're adopted, so we're sons and daughters of the Father, right? That makes us brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. Who's our mother?
Mary.
The Blessed Virgin Mary, right? So we're part of this mystical body, this family of God. So what is it about confirmation? What's that going to do to you? Can you say a little bit about the sacrament?
Yeah. Well, I know that you are seen as an adult of the church. And so, yeah.
Responsible member of the church,
which means you're attending church every Sunday, and you're praying constantly,
which you should be doing already, right? But it means you really have to take responsibility for the faith. It's not like when Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, because to them belongs the kingdom of God." Well, certainly we don't want to call you little children, and you don't want to be called little children, right?
No,
of course not. I mean, you're absolutely not, you know. But so what did Jesus say when he says, let the children come to me because to them belongs the kingdom of God? What did he mean?
He meant to let them love him so then they can be guided to the right path.
What is it about children, though, you know? For instance, if we had Mass this morning. If I were to say, And you know this, and that's why I bring you guys up to the front part of the church, because the eighth grade used to sit in the back of the church, and I had all the little tiny ones. The munchkins were all in the front, right? The little ones. And they were very attentive, and they would answer all the questions, right? You even see that this morning when I start asking questions. Boy, their hands go up, and they don't care whether they've got the right answer or the wrong answer. They just want to talk.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the eighth graders, they tend to be a little bit more reserved, a little bit more right, a little bit more quiet. And I understand, because I was there, but when God said, be like the little children, what do I tell you so often? What does that mean but to be open to wonder at the mystery of God, the wonderful mystery of God? So children tend to be more open, right? Yeah. As we get older, we begin to question, and it's good to question, but we keep faith. You know, it's good to it's important that we have questions, but that we keep faith. But to be open and to throw yourself into the mystery of God, and you'll always be free, right? And so confirmation, you're going to be confirmed. Well, we can just have our interviews right here instead. We don't have to do our interview, because I'm going to interview all the students next week in preparation. We can do it right here with the three of you. But so your confirmation is to have that openness, to wonder at the mystery of God, and to be open to if we speak of the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, confirmation, you're opening your hearts to which of the three persons of the Trinity, most especially?
The Spirit.
Exactly. The Holy Spirit. You know, so it's really, when you were babies, in fact,
you baptized me, yeah.
Did I baptize the two of you?
I was baptized at St. Bede.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Where were you baptized? You don't remember. Find out.
We were small then.
She was just a baby. Because she's just a baby. So your parents brought you as babies. So I had your baptism. But your parents aren't going to be carrying you into the church for confirmation, right?
No. I'll be walking.
You'll be walking on your own two feet. And so, you know, sometimes people say, well, why do you, as Catholics, why do you baptize babies? They can't make a decision, right? Yeah. It's true, right? Did you choose your parents or no?
No.
No. Would you like to have chosen your parents? Maybe different parents?
Mm.
No. We don't. No, absolutely not. Because you get great parents, you know. So I don't want to put any words in your mouth. But we don't choose God, right?
Mm-mm.
We didn't get to choose God. We didn't choose our parents.
He comes to us.
We didn't choose God. God chose us. He chose you. He loved you into life. He created you in His image and likeness and beauty and goodness. He's the artist. You're the work of His hands. He's a potter, we're the clay. And so the whole of our life is allowing Him to continue to fashion our lives. So if your parents brought you as infants, as babies, to the church for baptism, rightfully so, then it's now at confirmation you're able to really make
a decision. And
renew
your baptismal vows.
And it's absolutely renewing the baptismal vows. And in renewing those and renouncing
Satan.
Exactly. We renounce Satan. We renounce sin. We renounce evil. We're in the spiritual conflict, spiritual battle. So it's always going to be a bit of a fight. That's why we got to keep our eyes on the Lord, and that's why we have to faithfully go to Mass on Sundays. Mass means, let's see if you remember this, Mass means?
Mission.
So we're people with a mission, right? All right. All right, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? I've been telling you this all these years.
Mark yourself with a sign of the cross.
Ah, see, I love these kids. You know, that does my heart good, see? So they absolutely. You mark yourself with the sign of the cross, and in doing you, wrap yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you give witness. All right?
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Thanks. Frank, thank you for bringing them in. I see Frank is our good emissary, good missionary. You know, what happened?
I'm sorry. I sneezed.
You don't sneeze on the radio. That's okay. We do that too all the time, you know. So they heard that in Peru. They heard it in New Zealand. Anyway, listen, thanks so much. You guys got to be about your work, whatever you're going to do today. So, but thanks for stopping in.
No problem.
You come back. Hey, we'll come back after confirmation, all right?
Yes.
Make it a point to get you back in here.
Okay.
Tell your teachers you want to, tell them I want to be on Father Anthony's radio. All right.
Okay.
Good. All right. Very good. All right, everybody. Thanks. Well, I was going to say thanks for being with us. We're not done. We're just I'm done with the students, not the children, but the our students who are childlike, open to wonder at the mystery of God. Hey, don't go away. We're right back. And Father
thank
Anthony,
you, Father.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was so kind. Thank you. I'm so happy you're here. You just made my day. You know, absolutely, and everybody's day. So. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Alethea. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. That really made my day. It was always nice. I love when the kids come in, and we got to get them in more often, you know, so they...
Yes, they were great.
They were listening. So they were listening this
attention.
Morning.
They were
That's
listening.
Right. Just a little bit. But we were just talking in the break, you know, they're already out doing their service,
yes.
Work, whatever. But the... Got to get the little ones in because they're so animated
they're
and spontaneous. And they're just... And like I said, when I ask the kids questions... Their hands go up and they,
right
and they, it may have nothing to do with, you know, your question. What I like is,
and they don't care if they're wrong. Like when you get older, you're ashamed if you have the wrong answer.
But you notice what I do with the kids. I don't know if you've noticed, cause this is, I've got a kind heart. I do. And, I don't want to make anyone feel bad. So I'm not one to say everybody's a winner by no means. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't, I say, no, that's not the right.
But you're on the right track.
You're on the right track. That's mm-hmm. close. And I know what's on the tip of your tongue,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, all their answers were good answers.
Right. Yes,
you know?
They were.
There's a trust and prayer, and I forgot what the other ones were, but they do a good job. But when I go to the school, and especially with the. The little ones that are in preschool, I mean, really little. I'll ask them a question, and they won't answer the question. They're gonna tell me something. Like I might say something.
Superman.
Like, yeah. Well, you know, did I tell you that story before?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that story.
So I went. This was for Ash Wednesday mm-hmm. some years ago, and Sister Susan was the principal. And she said, you know. She said, "Would you? Because they're too tiny to come to the church because mm-hmm. they can't keep their attention. So she wanted me to go to the preschoolers and bring them the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
So after the mass, I of course kept the vestments on. They're very
ornate,
very mm-hmm. purple with gold embroidery, or the cross and all that. Yeah. It's got all this. Anyway, they're beautiful vestments.
Yes.
So I went." with the ashes, and by the way, that year it was snowing. I don't know if I told you this, but so I'm walking with the ashes and I actually slipped on the snow, and actually fell. But I kept those ashes in my hand in the container. It was an open container, and I didn't lose any of them.
I've done something like that one time before.
Wow. Yeah, this is a miracle, I think. So when I got to the school, well, the preschoolers are so tiny, so little, that I thought, well, I'll get on my knees so when they come to me, we're face-to-face. And so they got in a line, and they came to receive their ashes, and so the first child came. Now they're seeing me, you know, dressed up in the vestments. They've never seen me, perhaps, in the vestments before. So the first child comes. And before I could say anything, he said, "I was Superman for Halloween." Now, this is Ash Wednesday, right? So he said, "I was Superman for Halloween." Well, you know, every student told me what they were for Halloween. Every single student told me what they were for Halloween. So they probably thought I was dressed. Obviously, they thought I was dressed up for Halloween. They're so funny. But some of the kids, there's even a pre school. And when I go there, the teacher has to translate everything they say because I can't understand a word they say, a word. Period, yes, nothing. But the teacher seems to understand everything. Goodness. So I'm asking a question or somebody, the student wants to tell me something. Okay. So what did, I have to look at the teacher and then she translates, she says, he said or she said, you know, that her grandfather was sick. So if her grandfather's sick, well, then you know everybody else's grandfather or grandmother or aunt or uncle
are sick.
So they have to tell me all that. So they're really fun. They're really fun to be around. So well, that was nice. I'm so happy they came in. But that's, you know, it's interesting, the reading, and this is what brought me to the question, you know, why do we go to Mass on Sunday? Well, the gospel, as I mentioned with the students, Jesus said, he said, God, it begins, he says, you know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now, of course, how is he going to be lifted up? But he'll be lifted up on the cross. And you know, and that translates into the Holy Mass, into the sacred mysteries, when that host is lifted up, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. God did not send his Son," he's referring to the Father, "did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, because Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life," as he will say later of himself. And he says, this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. They wouldn't even come toward the light for fear their works be exposed. Whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. So this idea of Jesus being lifted up in a perpetual way, you know, he laid down his life, he atoned for our sins, he is the expiation once and for all, on the hill of Golgotha, on Calvary. So he doesn't repeat the sacrifice. It's the one and only sacrifice. It's that messianic moment in time, our salvation, our redemption. For what purpose? But to save us from our slavery to sin and death. Now here we are 2,000 years later. We've yet to die, and we are sinners. So that salvific and sanctifying act, the Paschal mystery, is not repeated, but it's perpetuated, it's renewed every time we celebrate the sacred mysteries, every time we enter into the Holy Mass. This is the highest act of prayer, and that's why I say I don't say the church teaches that we go to Mass for God to adore, to give thanks, to appease God's justice for our sins, and to implore, to intercede. And our primary, our principal, our participation is the offering of our lives to God the Father in and through Jesus. That's what happens at the Mass. So, but what inspired me to go to this, these reasons why we go to Mass is the first reading this coming Sunday from the Book of Chronicles. It says, and this is all this is what precedes, what led to the destruction of the temple, the exile of the people of the covenant in 587 BC, when in those days, as the book says, all the princes of Judah, the priests, the people, added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. When you think about that, and you think of our own time, you know? So I say there's nothing new under the sun. And what Jesus says, you know, there's always going to be scandal. But this is where we have to caution ourselves, you know, that this is the princes, the priests, the people, that we're not caving, compromising, giving into the ways of the world, ways that are contrary to the laws of God, to the very will of God. And but the reading goes on, and this is the thing I want. What I wanted to point out is it ends here. He says that God says early and often, the God of your fathers sent messengers, for he had compassion on his people in his dwelling place, the temple. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised the warnings, scoffed at the prophets, until the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. And so the enemies came in and they burned the house of God. They destroyed, demolished the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, destroyed everything. People were exiled. They were taken as captives into Babylon. And listen to what he says. And this was to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths. During all the time it lies waste, it shall have rest, while 70 years are fulfilled. In other words, it's until the people retrieve the lost Sabbath, until the land retrieves its lost Sabbaths, all will lie waste. This is very interesting. You know, when you think about our own day and time, when people seem to have very little, I say we've lost, collectively speaking, the discipline of the faith, but no regard for the Sabbath. And of course, the Sabbath is Sunday, the first day of the week. In the Old Covenant, it was Saturday. In the New Covenant, it is Sunday, because that's the day of the resurrection. And when the Christians were kicked out of the synagogue, because they were all those primitive, the earliest Christians were all Jewish, they never intended to leave the synagogue. But when they were forced out of the synagogue because they accepted Jesus as a Messiah, then they took the synagogue service and he brought it to Sunday and put it there alongside the Eucharistic sacrifice. You know, so we have the full Mass on the first day of the week, Sunday, which is also the octave, the eighth day. But we have it, like I was trying to impress upon the students this morning, it's not a suggestion, but this is an obligation. It's an obligation. It's a responsibility. It's a law that we keep holy the Sabbath, that we adore God. God set aside a day for our collective adoration, our thanksgiving for what God has done for us, what he continues to do for us, but principally speaking for our redemption through the blood of the cross, and to implore, to intercede, and to appease the justice of God on account of our sins, you know? And we begin the Mass really acknowledging that we are sinners. And before we receive communion, we acknowledge again that we're not worthy, you know? Anyway, I think that's a powerful symbol of the, if we don't have regard for the Sabbath, the day that is set aside for public worship, that we give public witness and worship as the mystical body of Christ, if we don't have, if we don't set aside that time for this collective, corporate, or I shouldn't use the word corporate, but this the body of Christ, adoring, thanking, seeking forgiveness, interceding, if we don't have time to come together as a body for that, then we've disregarded the commandment of God, and there are consequences. And those consequences you can see all around you, you know? How do you keep a family together? How do you keep a marriage together? Not just keep it together, but keep it, you know, sanctified. How do we become the leaven or the salt or the light in the world's darkness if we're not together nurturing and cultivating this intimacy with God? So I thought that was interesting. And until they retrieve the Sabbath, until we retrieve, until we recover, until we restore to our lives this observance of the Sabbath, the land may lay waste, you know? Anyway, we'll take a break, come back, and you guys can maybe respond, as did the eighth graders so beautifully, you know? All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Newsflash! This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, inviting you to be drawn to Christ's passion through the wonderful performance of the Seven Last Words of Christ, 7 p.m. Friday, March 23rd at St. Mary Church, 19515 115th Avenue, Mokena, Illinois.
The Last Seven Words of Christ is both a theatrical and musical portrayal of the Passion of Christ. Unlike any other production, the actors never speak a word. The narration and dialogue of the scenes are given by the 50-member choir, soloists, and live orchestra through the musical work of composer Theodore Dubois and others. Simonetta Pasek, director, Anna Pasek, conductor. Purchase tickets at St. Mary's after all masses or the parish office or online at danceintegro.com. DanceIntegro.com. And click on shows. The Last Seven Words of Christ, Friday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. at St. Mary Parish, 19515 115th Avenue, Mokena, Illinois.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being with us. You know, yeah. Thanks for being with us. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of something. You know, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I've never done this before. I don't think I've ever mentioned this on a radio, but we are in need of funds to maintain or to continue on the Winds of Change. So, you know, I just So I thank you for listening. Yeah, absolutely. I thank you for listening. Now, we're not going off the air right away, but we are in a financial crunch. Mm-hmm. Can I say that? That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. That's what mm-hmm. it is. And so whether we continue, you know, well into the future is going to depend on whether we can get the funds to maintain, to support the radio, this program. So, you know, if you know somebody out there who's got a couple of $100,000, can I say it? Well, you never know, right?
Some they want to get rid of.
Yeah, they want to get rid of.
For a good cause.
please, you know, contact us at the Winds of Change. I think you've got all that is on the, Facebook or whatever. Oh. So, I just come in for the radio. I mean, I'm running.
They just bring me in here.
I fly in and fly out, but really, in all seriousness, we've been on, gosh, almost 10 years.
Has it?
No, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow.
You started in 2009. When
8 years. No. 8 years.
Well, that's
I think we started in 2000. No.
2010?
2010. Eight, nine. Oh, no, 2009.
It's 11 years.
2009. We started in 2009, wow. September 2009. So it's been 9 years.
Wow.
And, you know, we've, you know, unfortunately, I've mentioned, I should say, you know, that one of the primary donors, Rosemary Sullivan, who was basically... their family built the studio and sustained it, you know, mm-hmm. just really believed in what we were doing. And she passed away in,
November.
When was it? Was it November?
November, yes.
In November. And so, you know, this is here we are. But, you know, thanks to her and thanks to Gerilyn and mm-hmm. her daughter. They've been the principal supporters of the Winds of Change. And so we've been blessed in the sense that haven't had to go out looking for money and we cannot, you know, I can't bring it from the parish because this is something separate from the the mm-hmm. parish. And so we have to, my first responsibility as a pastor is to maintain the operation mm-hmm. of the parish and also the capital repairs and all that. And if you've seen the church, and I think many of you have, we're blessed with an absolutely beautiful place for worship, and our doors are open 24/7. So we make a lot of sacrifices because we believe it's part of the mission,
right.
And we're acting really in obedience. I would say to the unapologetically I say to the call of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and this goes back, you know, many, many years. It took us a while to get those doors open, but the doors have been open almost 10 years. In May, it'll be 10 years, and the radio began a year later. It was in 2009 that the Winds of Change began, and we've been, as I said, we've been blessed. We thank God, and I ask Rosemary Sullivan to pray for us, to intercede mm-hmm. on our behalf. She was extremely generous and extremely supportive. She was just a matriarch, you know, the mother of many, many children and many, many, many grandchildren. So, but we are in a financial bind, mm-hmm. and so if there's anybody that can help us out, if you know anybody who wants to keep this moving forward, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, and as you know, if you're a first time listener, that you wouldn't know this, but those who have been following us on a regular basis, and we do have, you know, faithful listeners, thank God. And we do, I wasn't exaggerating, we do have a listener in Peru and New mm-hmm. Zealand, and Finland too, I think, you know. But the, in fact, I spoke with somebody who's in charge of the, I guess I can't say his name or anything, but the in charge of the, what, studio? How would you say, I'm into the station manager, and I said, you know, I would hope that we're not going to be pulled from the air. And he says, you know, it's a good show, and he says you've got a lot of listeners. He told me that, mm-hmm. and he said that's the last thing I want to do. But again, they can't. We've got to meet our bills,
sure.
meet our bills. And it averages about, can I say what it averages? Averages about $4,500 a month. $4,500 to $5,000 a month is what it costs to keep us on the air. So just so you know. And I do apologize in a sense that, you know, in the last couple of years, because of my health, because I've been battling cancer, but I don't like to use the word battling because I don't feel like I'm fighting. I feel fine, but I have to go through these treatments. I had surgery in January, and for a period of time 2 years ago, I was out because of for reasons. But thank God I'm here, and so I'd like to be on a more regular basis. I try to be on 3 times a week, but thank God we've got Mary on Monday, and she does a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. And Father Coyce
on Wednesday,
who's been faithful for many years. In fact, I thank God for both of them and for Father Loya as well, and others who come on in my absence, for Jeff Hammond and for...
And then the other guests.
David Corolla.
Yes.
You know, and others, you know, and then, of course, you get repeats of some of the shows, and some people like that, you know, but the point is that, you know, we'd like to stay on, and I'm hoping, you know, I really hope that within, let's say, within the 6 months that I'll be done with this treatment that I'm going through, and I won't have to, you know, disappear every 3 weeks for several days, which is what's happening right now. So, if you can help us out, please do so. As I said, it's about $4,500 to $5,000 a month that it costs to maintain the radio. And well, to be honest, for 2 months now, we haven't had the money, but they've been very generous with us and just waiting for us to somehow acquire what's needed to keep us on the air. So, all right, I just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy this, and I hope you know I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm enjoying it more. I never thought of myself as somebody on the radio, and I've never listened to myself. I will not. Then I will not be back on a radio. but it does give us an opportunity to have a conversation, and that's basically what it is. I'm not polished, refined. It's not a theological exhortation, although we deal with theology, we deal with scripture, we deal with life. I think, and I don't think I know. And so I enjoy it. It's like being with friends. It's like being in a family and with friends and just having a conversation. And even though I don't see you, and we're not, and one of these days, you know, we'll get the telephone working if we can get the money right. We get the telephone working so we can maybe have people call in, you know, and maybe expand eventually to maybe 2 hours. Who knows, you know? But it's a powerful, a beautiful opportunity to share faith, really to share faith. And I hope, if anything, that through this you come to know a little bit better, you come to know God, to love God, and you're inspired to serve God. We're all in this together, you know. We're all in this together, and we're trying to fight the good fight. So, with that, I wish everybody a very wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you. Thanks for being with us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Amen.
Inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time.